For the last few weeks here on a Sunday morning, we've been previewing our Alpha course. So we've been looking at some of the themes that we are following through the Alpha course, giving you a wee idea of what it's all about. And our theme for today is why and how should I pray? Why and how should I pray? So what is prayer? What is prayer? It's a good question to ask, I think, because when you say the word prayer, different people think of different things. So for some people, prayer is something you do or something you get someone else to do for you. So it's a sort of activity or duty or a religious act, if you like. To other people, prayer is it's a sort of magical shopping list. You know, it's a bit like sort of a divine Tesco's, where you order online all the things that you need. And then you sort of sit around and moan about the fact that they haven't turned up on time. Not that I shop online, but my daughter does, and she moans about it all the time. Anyway, so that's the sort of picture some people have about what prayer is. So what is prayer? Or or more to the point, what do Christians mean by prayer? What do we mean by prayer? A good place to start would be by focusing on what prayer is not. Because there's quite a few misconceptions out there. According to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find this in Matthew chapter 6, but we're not going to look at it right now, but if you want to read up to what he thinks about prayer, prayer is not about impressing people. That's not what prayer is about. You know, it's not about showing people how spiritual you are, how pious you are, how good you are. I don't know if you've ever been to a party or a gathering when you're in a group of people and you think someone's talking to you, and then you begin to realize, actually, he's not talking to you at all. He's just using you to impress everybody else around him. I don't know why I'm using the masculine here. But, you know, with sparkling wit or amazing knowledge. And you're thinking, hang on, I thought you were talking to me. And I think that's sometimes what God feels like when people are praying. You say, hang on, I thought you were talking to me. Jesus says, prayer is not a way of impressing people. But he also says in the Sermon on the Mount that prayer is not a way of impressing God. It's not a way of impressing God. He talks about how some people think that the more words they use, the more likely they are to get an answer. Like being a conversation. I'm sure it's happened to you when someone's saying the same thing over and over and over again. You say, I've got the point, you can stop now. I wonder how often God thinks that. The simplest and best definition of prayer that I know are these words that Neil's going to bring up on the screen. They're from Abbot Christopher Jameson. Christian prayer is the simple act of addressing God as you. Christian prayer is the simple act of addressing God as you. In other words, not addressing him as an object. Something that the special words or ways of praying is going to somehow unlock the door to. A bit like you would address an idol. That's not what Christian prayer is. And it's not addressing God as him, you know, someone distant, someone dispassionate. Christian prayer is the simple act of addressing God as you. Someone close and personal. And there's actually a good example of this sort of prayer in a prayer that Jesus prays. It's quite a well-known prayer. It's recorded in a number of the Gospels, but we're going to look at the version recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And it's the prayer that he prayed at Gethsemane. If you want to follow in the pew Bibles, that's the page number. So this is Jesus at prayer. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, he said. Father, Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. Then he came back, and he found them again sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Loving Father, please unlock the meaning of these words for us now, that we may learn about true prayer. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. A question. How often do you meet people who say they don't believe in God, and when you actually press them, they say, well, and they tell you about some point in their life when they were absolutely desperate, and they turned to God in prayer, and he didn't answer them. I know people like that. They are desperate, and God didn't answer their prayer. Well, here's Jesus at the most important point in his life, begging his Father for help. Begging his Father to show him if there is another way. We can tell his prayer is one of utter desperation. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be betrayed and tried and flogged and crucified. He knows this. He's actually spoken to his disciples about this already several times. This is what's going to happen. He knows it's going to be horrible, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be shameful, it's going to be agonizing. And on top of all of that, he knows that he's going to experience the utter desolation that comes when he is separated by sin from his loving Father, something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So he knows all of this, and he's just longing for there to be another way. So here's Jesus, he's alone, he's weary beyond words, he's facing a horrible task, horrific task, and he's begging his Father to just, if there is any other way, and he's addressing his Father as you. So what is prayer? Well, prayer is a monumental act of faith. First and foremost, prayer is a monumental act of faith. When we pray to a God we cannot see. We pray believing that he's there. It's an act of faith. But more than that, we pray believing that he's listening and that he cares and that he knows our needs and that he wants to help. It's a monumental act of faith. Let me tell you a story, and it's a story that I often tell at the Alpha Course. So some of you who've been to Alpha recently will have heard this before. It's a parable, okay? It's a parable about a mother who has two daughters. Just imagine, a mother has two daughters. There was a mother who had two daughters. The first was on the phone every night. Every night, regular as clockwork, on the phone. And she and her mum would chat, and they'd chat about everything and anything. They'd chat about the price of peas to the price of nappies to Brexit to everything. They'd chat about everything. And, you know, it was just a chat, really. I mean, if something important came up, they'd chat about that too, but The second didn't phone much at all. She only really phoned if she needed something. So she only phoned every now and then. And sometimes weeks would pass and the mum wouldn't hear from her. Now, we just pause there for a minute and ask ourselves, what is this telling us about the relationship between these girls and their mum? It's telling me, first of all, that the relationships are very different. That the first daughter actually thinks of her mum as her closest friend, someone she just likes sharing her life with. Whereas the second, her mum's more like an object. You know, she's there to meet her needs, a bit like your local GP. I mean, why bother them if you don't need anything? When the first daughter ever needed anything, she'd always ask her mum if she could help. She'd always ask her mum if she could help. But she does this knowing that her mum loves her and that she will help if she can. And if ever her mother says, well, actually, no, sorry, I can't help, then the first daughter believes, well, there'll be a good reason for that because my mum loves me and I trust her. Whereas the second daughter, if ever she asks her mum for help, your mum usually helps because she's her daughter. But sometimes she can't help and she says no. And whenever that happens, the second daughter, she hangs up the phone and says, I knew she didn't love me. Now, of course, that's just a parable, okay? I don't want you to start thinking, now, who am I talking about here? It's just a parable. But the point of a parable is to make a point. And the point it tries to make is that Christian prayer is not just about asking. It's about relationship. It's about conversation. It's like the conversations that take place between that first daughter and her mother. It's about sharing your life. It's being in a conversation with the God that you love and who you know loves you. So how we pray and how often we pray actually reflects the relationship that we have with God. And when you read the Gospels, you realize that spending time with his Father is just embedded in Jesus' daily routine. He doesn't do anything before he's gone and spent some time alone with his Father. Gethsemane is a great example of that. And that his Father is someone who's not a passing acquaintance. Is someone that he knows, loves him, and someone he trusts implicitly. Again, if you think of that parable, you see that prayer is not just a one-way thing. It's not just about talking to God. It's about spending time with God. And that means being open to his voice. As far as we know, Jesus' time of prayer in Gethsemane wasn't just a short time of prayer. In fact, we get the impression that it lasted several hours, well through the night. Did he speak for all of that time? I very much doubt it. He didn't just say the same sentence over and over again. Yes, he would have poured out his heart to God, his Father. But there would have been times of silence as well where, conscious of his Father's loving presence, he'd be listening out for what his Father was saying to him. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is including God in your life. It's spending time with him. It's being open to his voice. And that's why it goes so well with reading and meditating on passages from the Bible. And here at Liberton, we encourage people to do that. Make a daily routine of spending time alone with God. And people either use the Bible reading regimes that they've chosen themselves, or if they want to, they can use what we call our Celtic Devotions readings, which are in our magazine, they're on our website. But the point is we're trying to encourage people to get in the habit of making that daily phone call and sharing your life. But that's why we have the Upper Room on a Tuesday. The Upper Room is a quiet place where people can encounter God. Prayer is not just about talking to, it's about being with and listening to his voice. But here's the question that the passage raises for us all. What do we mean by answered prayer? Remember those people who don't believe in God because he didn't answer the prayer. What do we mean by answered prayer? Well, here's a couple of thoughts. The first is that the Bible tells us that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And one of the first things it changes is the person doing the praying. I find that the more I pray and the more openly and honestly I pray, the more I am able to recognize God's voice. And the more interesting my life gets. Because you see, God has plans for our lives. And we're not going to know what they are unless we actually hear what they are from him. Let me just give you a very personal example. And it's something that came to fruition just a few weeks ago. But it started just over a year ago. Just over a year ago, during my time that I was spending alone with God, by the way, it's always a struggle. You're always busy or too busy. You really got to work at it. So just over a year ago, during this time alone with God, I had the strong feeling that I needed to get in touch with an old school friend. Now, this was someone that we used to be the best of friends at school, but we'd sort of drifted apart and lost touch with each other. I hadn't actually heard from him for 35 years. But I bumped into someone who knew him, and I'd say, oh, have you got his phone number? He said, he wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I'd taken it home and forgotten about it. And probably I was a bit shy, you know, I didn't want to know. You know, sometimes you're a bit shy about renewing an acquaintance. There's an element of that in it as well, if I'm absolutely honest. But I'd been at church on Sunday, we're on holiday, I'd been at church, and the preacher had said something that made me think about this particular friend. I thought, oh. And then I'd been reading something during my time alone with God, and the memory had come back. Oh, what's God saying to me? And I made the mistake of telling my wife. So she made sure that I phoned him. And I've actually written it in, this is a journal I keep of the things that God says to me in prayer. And if you actually look back to Wednesday, the 29th of August, 2015, phone Robert. So I phoned him that day. And I didn't get him, I got his wife. And his wife said, didn't you know for the last 5 years Robert's been suffering from motor neurons disease? Whew. So obviously I went round to see them and I visited them quite regularly just over this last year. And we had lovely times together. They were really pleased that I got back in touch. And we talked about all sorts of things, from the price of chips to why I became a minister and what was faith to do with this. You know, it was one of these really, really things. And it came to fruition just a couple of weeks ago when I took Robert's funeral, because he asked me to. Now, I wouldn't have gotten in touch if I hadn't spent time alone with God listening to what he was saying. Because God has plans for our lives. And prayer changes us. And the more we spend time with God, the more we recognize his voice, the more his plans can find fruition in our lives. Because God wanted me to get in touch with Robert. He wanted me to take his funeral. Of that, I have no doubt. So that's the first thought. Prayer changes us. But the second thought, you know, was Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane answered? Well, if you read the Gospels, you'll see that many times Jesus' prayers are answered in the conventional sense. You know, Jesus prays for someone to be healed, and they're healed. Or he prays for a situation to be changed, and the situation is changed. He prays for 5,000 people to be fed, and they're fed. He prays for the storm to be stilled, and the storm is stilled. So there are many times in Jesus' life when his prayers are answered in the conventional sense, but there are also many times when they're not answered. And Gethsemane is one of those times, probably the most memorable of times. So was Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane answered? The simple answer is no, because there was no other way. So God's answer was no. Does that mean that Jesus felt let down? I don't think he does. Because if you look at what happens at the end of his time of prayer, That time of prayer just seems to change him. It seems to make all the difference. Because from being a man who's on the point of collapse, weeping, begging, lying prostrate on the ground, in Luke's gospel, told he's shedding tears of blood. From that point, he ends up a man who is strengthened and restored, and he goes back to his disciples. He wakes them up, says, come on, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Like, he's strengthened and renewed and ready for the challenge that's to come. And if you read Jesus' life, every major challenge he faces, he faces it by preparing himself with time alone with God, and that's where he gets his strength. You know, for me, the most important times I spend in prayer with people tend to be when they are facing a real struggle, when they've maybe lost the person closest to them in their life and the future just looks bleak. You know, the world has changed and there's nothing they can do about it. At these times, prayer is not about waving a magic wand and pretending it didn't happen, because that would be ludicrous. It'd be like saying their loved one didn't matter. That's not what prayer is about. It's about inviting God into their situation, asking him to be part of things, allowing his strength to make all the difference. And his strength does make all the difference. So what have we learned? That prayer is an act of faith, that prayer is not just about asking, that the way we pray reflects the relationship we have with God, that prayer is spending quality time with someone we love and trust. Let's do that right now. Let's spend some time in silence. And if you want some sort of focus, ask yourself, what has God been saying to me right now? And what am I going to do about it?